Let us pray. God, who names and claims us, come to us this Advent season. Enlighten us to know who we are and to use our uniqueness for your glory, to participate in bringing your kingdom on earth near. Amen. Who are you? How do you introduce yourself to people? I'm going to ask you to do something I don't usually do during sermon time, which is to play a quick game. You will simply turn to the person next to you and ask them, "Who are you?" And they will give you one answer. And then you will ask them again, "Who are you?" And they will give you one more answer. For example, if I was asked this question, I might say, "Pastor, mother, martial artist." But then I might have to think a little bit more creatively and think, "Justice seeker, creative thinker." And so you're going to find somebody to work with. If you end up having a triad, that's okay. You can go back and forth and ask them, "Who are you?" And it'll be fine. So look for somebody next to you. On your mark, get set, and go for 1 minute. Okay, now switch roles. If you are asking the question, now you are going to be asked, "Who are you?" Go ahead. Okay, our time is up. Thank you for humoring me and participating in this game this morning. So, did you feel a little bit like you were being interrogated? How did you define yourself? I first played this game at a meeting of community leaders in Washington, D.C., and we didn't know each other at all when we entered the room, but after playing several rounds of this game with several different people, we came to a realization that we were a room full of diversely gifted people with similar values, and I imagine that's similar here. Many of you who played this game probably already knew each other, but I bet some of you didn't. And I bet even if you knew each other, maybe some of you learned something new about the person you were talking to. You probably noticed that you could answer this question, "Who are you?" in a variety of ways. And that's exactly what John, who we know as John the Baptist, was doing in our gospel reading this morning. John was being interrogated by the priests and the Levites from Jerusalem. So John first answers this question, "Who are you?" by saying who he is not. He is not the Messiah. Then he's asked if he's Elijah or the prophet, both of which he says he is not. Then the priests and the Levites seem a little bit frustrated with him. And they ask him, "Well, if you're not any of those, then tell us, who are you?" To which John gives his second answer, quoting a verse from the book of Isaiah that we heard last week, "I am the voice of the one crying out in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord." This seems even more frustrating to the priests and Levites, who then question the legality of John baptizing if he is not the Messiah, nor Elijah, nor the prophet. So then John's third answer to "Who are you?" is to explain his role, his action in baptizing with water, again pointing to the coming of Jesus, the Messiah. This passage from John is jam-packed full of legal language, from the courtroom of a witness being questioned and then testifying with testimony. In fact, the verb to testify is prominent in the Gospel of John. Though it's barely, if even present, in the other Gospels, the verb form of to testify occurs 35 times in John, and the noun testimony 14 times. A testifier or a witness in Greek is martyria. Repeat after me, martyria. Good job. What does that sound like? We're going to go with martyr. I heard many things, but we're going to go with martyr this morning. This is where our English word martyr comes from. The Gospel of John is very focused on being sent to be a martyr, one who is a witness for Jesus. And just as John's act of baptizing was considered to be an action that pointed toward the kingdom of God coming to earth, Our testifying, our witnessing in the world around us, points to Jesus and the kingdom of God drawing near in big and small ways, each and every day. I'm standing here in front of you today as your pastor because this exact question, "Who are you?" was asked of me many years ago. Some of you know I traveled to Guatemala as part of a ministry called Tree for Hope, which began as a ministry of my family when I was a stay-at-home mother. When working in Guatemala with orphanages and schools and elder centers, people would often ask me, "Who are you? Are you a missionary? Are you a pastor?" And like John the Baptist, I had an easier time telling people who I was not rather than who I was, because I really didn't know at that point who I was or who God was calling me to be. This question is eventually what led me to seminary. And I asked myself, how can I best do what God is calling me to do? And I determined that my vocation, my way of being a witness for Christ, was at least partially to be a pastor. Sometimes in life, we might be in a season where we wonder and question who we are. This often occurs in major life transitions, when graduating high school, when beginning retirement, when one's between jobs or in job searching, or when a new member is added to a family. Though we might not know who we are supposed to be during these seasons, we can take comfort in being certain whose we are. We are children of God, children of the Most High, the King of Glory, the Prince of Peace, children of a God who loves justice and who has made a covenant, a promise with us by sending Jesus to forgive our sins and bring us everlasting life. And isn't that a great place to start exploring who we are? Who are you? What do you stand for? What are the answers that you gave in the game or that you thought about who spoke to the essence of who you are? What is God uniquely gifting you to be used for? This is your vocation. This is your way of being a witness in the world for Jesus Christ. And your witness, your life testimony, is intricately linked with others. I was in Guatemala during Thanksgiving to break ground on a girls' school that will be named Hope Academy. And as I prepared for this groundbreaking celebration and reflected on the journey over the last many years, I decided I wanted to tell a story. This was not my story, but my individual story was part of it. Rather, the story was a collective story of a community, and so I wove a story together to try to tell the collective story, giving a bit of the story, and then inviting somebody up to talk about their piece. And what I expected was that I was just creating a string of stories. The surprise that I experienced was that we ended up creating a tapestry of testimonies instead. As I invited people to speak, they would stand and they would give testimony as to how God brought all of the people and all of the pieces together, using each of their unique gifts and abilities for the good of the community. These stories were not chronological, as I had initially naively thought, but rather they were like pieces of wool that were hand-spun, uniquely and individually, and then woven into a dimensional fabric that was manifesting as a school for girls. What started originally as a testimony of lack of opportunity in the face of poverty ended up turning into a Holy Spirit-empowered compilation of testimonies, all pointing toward the kingdom of God drawing near for a bunch of little Guatemalan girls. And so I ask all of you, how does being part of this community at Trinity Lutheran Church multiply and amplify your story for the good of the community inside these walls, but also the broader community outside as well? Because that community is waiting, as we wait this Advent season, for the coming of God's kingdom in the form of a weak and vulnerable baby that will grow to be a man who sacrificed everything for you and for me and for all the world. How will we be a voice in the wilderness? preparing the way for Christ to come again. And recognizing that God is not only with us, but working through us to accomplish God's work in the world, in what unique ways are we called to witness in the world? And what are you a witness for? And what is your life a testimony of? The Spirit of God is upon you, because the Lord has anointed you through your baptism to send you and me to bring good news to the oppressed, to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to comfort those who mourn, and to love and seek justice. God has clothed us with the garments of salvation and covered us with Christ's robe of righteousness. You and I are blessed by the Lord and freed to rejoice in the Lord and exalt God with our whole beings and lives. And so, freed by Christ and equipped and empowered by the Holy Spirit, let us go out into all the world as witnesses of Jesus, as he comes near to us to bring the kingdom of God into our presence. Come, Lord Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.